You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in the Gospel of Luke tonight and chapter 22. Everyone needs an upper room. And I hope that tonight, as you leave here and as we leave in just a matter of moments, I hope that you'll decide that I'm going to have an upper room. You say, Pastor, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s, I'm in my 80s. Well, then it's time to get an upper room. As long as you're breathing, that means you're alive. And say, well, I should have started. I know a lot of things we should have done. My Bible says in Luke 22, in Luke in chapter 22, and in verse number 12, and he show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. He says that same word in verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Tonight I'm coming to you on this sacred place, what tonight we're calling an upper room. Abraham had a place, the sacred place, chapter 12 of Genesis, chapter 13 of Genesis, chapter 18, called Bethel, the house of God. It was an altar. He went to that altar. He met God at that altar. Where do you meet God? Where's your place that you meet God? Moses had a place, especially he went to Mount Sinai, had 40 days there on more than one occasion. And Moses had the place, that place where God met with Moses, and Moses met with God. Joshua had a place. He said that they'll say one day, they'll say, what mean these stones? If you remember COVID, this empty place was empty. And we brought all those stones here, and I preached on a Sunday morning. They're on a monument out here by the Statue of Liberty with that plaque out there. What mean these stones? We came through COVID, and we're on the other side. And COVID, they thought they had us with COVID. But I'm telling you what, we're still in the house of God, and thank God for that. There's a place that you can meet God. It might be some stones in your backyard where you sit there. It might be Daniel had a place. His place was go to the upper window, and he faced toward Jerusalem, said, that's my upper room. That's where I meet God. I think tonight of David's place, it was manifold. David met God as a shepherd boy out in those fields and in the wilderness and at the sheepfold and in a cave and in the wilderness. And David simply met God in the temple. David had a place called an upper room. I know it wasn't that, but that's what it was. I think of our Lord Jesus. There's others in this. He went to a mountain to pray. What was there? That mountain was his upper room. He went to a garden to pray. What was that garden? His upper room. I think of our Lord. He went to the desert. What was there? His upper room. And here he comes to an upper room with his disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, there's an upper room. I'm not asking tonight to find a place that's 12 hours from here. I love to go to pray in the Sierras, someone says. So I think I'm going to take a 4-hour drive and get up there so I can pray. No, what about a closet? Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Perhaps, I don't know what your house is like. Perhaps the kids are raised. And perhaps there's a room and that closet, you might be able to put a little desk there. You might put your prayer journal there. You may put your Bible there. And you may have a kneeling mat. For years, I recall at the old building, I had a fleece, a sheepskin, and I put it down. And I used to have a little white sheep, a little one like this. And I had a black sheep. And I'd kneel there, and I'd place my elbows on that. And that was a place where I met God. I was able to meet God for 2 years. I didn't have an office. We were building at the other property. We had not one, zero parking stalls. And we got an old, I think it was about a 1948 trailer. And it had a crank out, and it cranked out a little bit. And they were using it one time as a nursery, but it became an office building. And the bathroom, the restroom was 4 feet by 4 feet. And we removed the appliances that were in there, the sink and the toilet and other things, and we gutted it out. And that 4 by 4 became my study and became my office for 2 years. And that place was a place where I had an upper room with God. I could pray. I could talk to God. I'll tell you something. I wish, and everybody's different. I have probably more time than the rest of you, but I love to go out to the cemetery. I have a route out there, and I pull my car over right here under the trees, and then I begin to walk, and there's different cemeteries. We've laid so many of our members to rest, but I go to the various markers right here in Santa Clara that's so easy to get to, and I go to those markers, or if I'm heading out 680, I can go out there to Scott Creek and pull over and pray, and I could walk through those places. I stop at your loved ones' markers, and I try to pray for your family and those that are left behind. Pray for continual healing. And you know, I don't care what it is or who it is. I think of some of those that have been very sad situations, difficult situations. I pray for those families. Do you realize today you could have an upper room? Oh, I don't ride my bicycle to work out. I just get up here on the levee right on the across the street here. And I get up there and I start going 3.8 miles out. And I get to the salt flats. And I get to those salt flats, and I tell you, I wish you could go out. Just go out there sometime. You're going to love it. You get out there, you get on those flats. Those flats go through the salt flats, and then you can see down the road the Dumbarton Bridge. And if you followed it further, close enough, you could get on. Eventually, if you got in the water, you could eventually get out to the San Mateo and Redwood City and Redwood Shores and all those places, and you get to San Francisco, and then you get to the Golden Gate Bridge. Never been that far. And you can talk to God. And you can get a theme. Today, for a while, Lord, I'm just going to talk to you for a while first before I pray about your goodness. And always start with the alphabet. What a mighty God, A, letter A. You're an almighty God. You are Alpha. And go through A, and go through B, and go through C, and go and just tell God. You see the great prophets yesterday. I have a book and wrote about the prayers, and I probably shouldn't have because I'm not the authority. But I said, I don't like this word to butter God up. But the great prophets always prayed and buttered God up. You're a mighty God. You're a wonderful God. You're a majestic God. And they'd tell him about the great things he had done in the past, how you divided the sea and you opened the sea. And you know what? I used to always tell folks, that's what a wife does sometimes. She goes, oh, you're such a wonderful husband. Oh, I love you so very much. Oh, you're the best. Well, she's up to something. I guarantee you that. She wants a new dress. And so, fellas, you just reach in your pocket. Come on, you cheapskates. Get her a 5. And say, honey, go to the thrift store. Here, get some shoes and get a purse and get a new dress. And take a 10. Get it cleaned as well. You know, when your kids are buttering you up, they're getting ready to ask you for something. Brother Kissel, you know what I'm talking about, how that goes. God knows what we're up to. But I sure enjoy hearing someone say, you're a wonderful pastor, a lot more than you're an idiot. And then you bear your needs and your burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see some things in this text tonight with me. And I want you to see this upper room was a spiritual place. The Bible says in chapter 22, verse 8, and he sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us the Passover. The Jews still celebrate Passover. And the Passover was when, you know, God passed over the door on the blood post. And the door was applied, blood was applied to the door post. And they would slaughter a sheep without blemish. It was a very spiritual institution. You're going to have to find a place that's free from distractions. You can't be in a place where you can't have your cell phone nearby. You gotta leave it somewhere else. On the next room over or something. You gotta leave it. You gotta leave it off. You cannot have it nearby. You have to be free from distraction. Miss Trevor's in the nursery tonight, but you know how that she has, I've told you, she has teased me about being AD, seriously, AD, what am I? ADHD? Is that are perfect, right? That's what I am. And she's convinced me I am. And I know I am. I can't believe I'm that way. My kids told me, Papa, you straighten up the psalm books. In fact, this thing's been driving me crazy right here. I've had this flower here all day today, and I've been wanting to pick it up. I said, because Brother Panera said, you turn the church house around, because during preaching, I didn't even know I was doing that stuff. If I'm not careful, I get so distracted. Brother Lawman, I get distracted during prayer. I'm praying right now fervently for housing. I was praying about it early this morning, and I found myself, as I'm praying for housing for our staff, all of a sudden I began to think of housing. And I began to ponder how we could fix up some of these apartments around here. And Brother Oxendine, I went down that road and I got so distracted, and I oftentimes had to say, God, my mind, please, I'm so, my mind is so distracted. I'll pray for those that are sick, and all of a sudden I'll get off on a trail. I don't know if that's ADWY or whatever that is. And I think I'm walking with God. But for me, it doesn't take much to get me distracted. I have to leave the office every night, and when I leave, I have to make sure that everything is off my desk. All emails are gone. All the mail, that I don't get that much anymore because there's a lot of emails, but the mail is gone, and everything I'm working on is put away. Because if I come in and I'm trying to study for Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or for the radio or for college or high school or elementary, I'm trying to study and I see that there, I cannot, Brother Romero, I don't know what's wrong there. I cannot leave it alone. I've got to deal with it. That's why you got to figure out who you are. The Passover was a very spiritual place. I come to God, I say, Lord, don't, please help me not to have a distracted mind. Amen. It's amazing. I have so many pages, I can't get through them on my prayer journal. And I'm going through this, and I pray about this pastor, and I get absorbed with his city. And maybe that's okay, I'm not sure. And the needs that he's facing. And I get all hung up in that city if I'm not careful, without moving forward. Maybe you're not that way. But I'm telling you this about me, because so many of you quit prayer because you do exactly what I do. You get distracted. Right. The Curry boy. I know his, I don't know if I know an NBA ball player. Maybe I do, I don't think I do. I know Mike Trout. For years I followed him because his uncle Kevin Trout would preach in our college all the time, and I follow him. I like to see what he's batting and how many home runs. And if I'm praying that God give us a good season in baseball with Brother Flood and Mrs. Trevor, I'll think, I haven't followed Mike Trout for the last couple of days. I think he's injured now. What's going on? And if I'm not careful, I'll pick my phone up. Brother John, I'll pick it up and try to figure out what is he batting. I don't know any other ball players, quite frankly. I don't know who the Giants, I don't know the A's, I don't know who any of those people are. I'm trying to come to you that you would pray for me, and I'll pray for you that you would make it a very spiritual endeavor. Amen. The second thing I find about this text It is a place where God is welcomed. The Bible says in verse 11, and he shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith, where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? Jesus, who is God, says, I want to be there. You know, Brother Bridgman, God wants to be with me when I come into his presence. And I walk with him, and I talk with him, and I speak to him. He doesn't want to be like Revelation 3:20 at this church. On the outside, I'm knocking at the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That was the church he was wanting to get in the church. Churches were so backslidden in Revelation there, chapter 3. And he said, I'm trying to get in. Would you let me in? I hope that God was in the inside today, this morning and tonight, instead of on the outside. And I hope that we, when we pray, that we realize that God is welcome there. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. It's in our songbook, page 429. I want God in my upper room.
Amen.
Yes, sometimes I get sidetracked. And yes, sometimes I sleep. I tell you what, the sweet, oh, fellowship divine, they just sang. You know, sometimes I sense that God is so close and so real that I know he's not there visibly, but I feel like I can almost touch him. And sometimes I sense that he's far away, and that's never God, that's always me. Do you have a place where God shows up? Oh, mothers, you're so busy. But you're going to have to find a place where you intercede for your husband, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your church. You're going to have to find a place. Maybe you're one of those fortunate ones. Your husband makes enough that you can stay home and care for the home and care for the things, the house and all those things. And maybe the greatest need you'd have, get the kids all off to school, the husband off to work. And maybe you could just get a cup of coffee, and I don't know what you do, but get your Bible and then go to your upper room to pray for your family and intercede for your family. I find the third thing, it was a readied place. They got it ready. I said that when I read it in verse number 12 and 13, and they showed you a large upper room furnished there, go make ready. And he went and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. My upper rooms, other than in the cemetery and on the on the salt flats, my upper room in my study or downstairs or in my office, it's a ready place. I have all my markers and all the colors of our markers, and I have my rulers, and I have my highlighters, and I have my a 210s and a 27 and a 205 pen and in red and in blue, and I use them accordingly. Because I have my tools there. I have always a Bible or two or three always there. And I have my notebook there. And I have my prayer journal there. I've got it all there. Why? Because I want it ready where I meet with God. That if God brings something to my attention, or for example, if my mind does begin to wander, I like to take a pen out and write it down over here and say, think about that later. Don't think about it now. Think about it later. Because I'm trying to meet with God.
Amen.
I find tonight it was a spiritual place. It's a place where God is welcome. It's a ready place. You put effort into it. It's a place where you bring your trials, verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat the Passover with you before I, what's the last word? Suffer. I'm going to suffer. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving? Over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. you young men that are being thrust in the ministry and you're watching, you're going to have to figure out a time. I heard an old preacher tell me years ago, he's been gone many years. He said, try to reserve the mornings for God and try to reserve the afternoons for the work of the ministry and the evening for the people of God and the things of God and the things of your church. I've tried to live that way. I've tried to claim I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. It's easy for me. It's everybody's different. You might be an evening, but my I love that morning when it's still dark in the morning, long before the sun had come up. And I love to get, I don't have to set an alarm. I can get up early. I start waking up real early. And I'm always up before 5 or by 5, no later than 5, generally earlier, because I get up and I love to get at it. And I love to get my Bible, and I love to get in prayer, and I love to get going in the day. I cannot meet people until I met with God. It's not possible. And I want you to know that today you're gonna have to bring your trials to God, your sorrows, your disappointments. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these troubles alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I'm almost done. It's a place of prayer. Look what he says in verse 17. He took the cup and gave thanks. It's a place of giving thanks to God. I don't want to come to God with just simply, I need this. I want to thank Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. And I don't want to just thank Him at Thanksgiving. I want to tell God what a mighty God He is. I close, it's a place of reality. Look at verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is at the table. He's still in the upper room. He said, someone here is going to betray me. I don't get over betrayal very easy. I watch betrayal all the time. I watch it all the time. It just breaks my heart. It eats my lunch. And here was a man that was going to betray him. He held the money, sat near him. Think what the songwriter wrote for us today. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I think of that part, oh, what peace. This is me. We often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Amen.
All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I asked you a few weeks ago, I'm not in a series on prayer, but I said, could you give 5 minutes a day to prayer? On a Sunday morning, we're going through Colossians, and we were in that subject of prayer. And it was just so amazing to me, a sea of hands, the balconies, the lower floor, hands were up everywhere. You know that, see, 5 minutes a day, that's nothing. That encouraged me. You imagine pastoring a church where people are at least praying 5 minutes a day? Hope we'll grow on that this summer. Maybe next month you go 10 minutes a day. Maybe the next month you go 15 minutes a day. You see some growth there. Maybe you'll table off at 15 minutes for a month or two or three or four. Maybe then you'll get up to 20 minutes. Maybe you'll slide back down to 14 minutes, and then maybe you'll get it back up to 30. Don't judge yourself. Just keep on praying.
Amen.
Oh, I love my office here. And then I love going to that office upstairs at the house. The kids are all gone. Nobody to fill those rooms. So I put a desk in there. I've got my tools to meet God. I love those salt flats. I'll be out at the cemetery this week, Lord, when I love going out there. I love it. And I know, you see, well, I wish I could make my schedule. I work a job 12 hours a day. I know. It would be easier for your pastor. I know that. And I hope you don't think he's, I work all the time. It's been a long, long time since we've been out of this area. We're just here every service for the last several years. I know I work, maybe not as much as you, but I know I work long hours. And I work through the night, and I'll work tonight. I know I will sometime. But my schedule is easier to change than yours. I run my schedule. You have a company or a boss that runs yours. So I'm never, please, looking down on you. I happen to pastor a very spiritual people, godly people. I know that. Serving people, giving people, sacrificing people. I think you always need an upper room. Bobby Robertson would say, he said, I'm preaching in a holler tonight, Brother Treber, about 2.5 hours from here. I said, you're going to have someone drive you? He goes, absolutely not. I don't want them ever to know because I like to be alone. And I said, Brother Robertson, you sound just like me. I always drive myself. Went to that funeral and one of our college girls came here, 36 years of age, just a few weeks ago in Sacramento. And I'll tell you what, I look forward so much to that morning traveling to that service, not the fact that that was such a hard funeral, her sad, sad death. But I knew I'd be several hours up and several hours back by myself, just talking to God, casting my cares upon Him. Praying for God's people, praying for this church, praying for our graduates that are scattered around the globe. You have to have an upper room. The upper room is a place of supplication and prayer. I think you ought to have an upper room that's sacred to you. I have many places I could list for you. I'd tell you about them, but we don't have time. My home church was not recently sold. They sold it and tore the church buildings down, broke my heart. I couldn't take myself over there, and my wife and I were in that city just recently, and I said, I got to go by. And I saw there's 49 condominiums on that property. I remember my brother-in-law's grandparents in 53 or 54 or 5, they sold a post office to buy in Michigan, to buy that property. That property's for church. And they tore it down and put 49 condominiums. I'm gonna go back there. It's only 20 minutes from here, 15. And I'm gonna go by there to that last house. I'm gonna say, sir, you are living on a sacred piece of ground. Right here, there was a little church building with no electricity. The other buildings were over here and over here, but right here. And in your backyard, in that back corner, in 1956, God reached down and saved me. I want to tell them what salvation is. The property is not used for God anymore, for church. But I'd like to tell them it was used for church. I remember this man getting saved and going to the mission field and served 50 years in France and died a few years ago. And this one, and this one, and this one. So many used of God from that property. That's a sacred piece of ground. In Idaho at camp, 1967, in my uncle's brand new 1967 Ford, as a high schooler, that night I walked down that gravel road over a little bridge and up to the hillside where his car was parked. He said, knocked on the door. It was all dark. I said, Uncle Bill, I got to talk to you. He said, Jack, do you know what time it is? I said, I know. And that night I got right with God. That's a sacred place. Do you know that sitting at my desk in 1971 in college, the day Bill quit school at night, Gary quit school in the morning, and after my first hour class, I was quitting school. But as my custom was, I read my Bible at 8 o'clock every morning. That day they're all in class and I'm reading my Bible and praying in Jeremiah 12:5. Instead of going to Vietnam as a Marine like I wanted to do, I said, God, I'm probably not going to amount to anything for you, but I'm staying in college and preparing to whatever you have for me. I'd like to go back to that old building built in the 1800s. And I know that that window means nothing to those kids that are there probably. I'm not saying they're bad kids, but that place right there, as I had an old secondhand desk, became sacred. Let's stand together, please. You're going to have to find a sacred place. You're going to have to find an upper room. It's hard. Easier for me, probably. Our heads are bowed. Father, this upper room, it's not mentioned a lot in the Bible. Really just 2 times. That upper room was such a special place. Right before the death of Jesus and right before the ascension, they found the upper room. It was a large place, a prepared place. 120 could gather one time. I pray that God, every person here would, as we approach summer now, give an upper room.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.